And we're back, and we're going to continue with our consideration of this book, the Bible. And I hope that you've gleaned some information that's been helpful to you to understand what is this book, the Bible. We understand that it's more than one book. It's 66 different books, but in a very important sense, it is one book because there is one central message that is throughout the book. Now, it's so very interesting because, as we've said before, it's written over a period of 1,500 years, different contexts, different situations, different peoples, different languages even, Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew, different historical contexts. And yet there is a central message that makes its way through the Bible. Some have called it the scarlet thread through the Bible that winds its way from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, all the way to the end of the book. There is this message, there is its purpose that the Bible reveals about itself. Now, clearly, it speaks to about a lot of issues. It speaks about a lot of topics. It tells us information about God and about ourselves as human beings, and how should we act, and how should we treat one another, and so on. Yes, there's a lot of information, and yet even beyond information, there is a central message that has to do with the individual, not just with all of humanity and God, but each of us as an individual, an application that comes to our lives. And that purpose is that God has created us for a relationship with himself. And that is revealed. Almost on every page of the Bible, you'll find some expression or some reference to that purpose that God desires to know us, for us to know him, to have a relationship, a friendship, even if you will, with the Creator himself, that God has made us for that purpose. And that is that scarlet thread that winds its way through the Bible. We see the idea that God is a personal God. He has created us to be personal beings. That means we have intellect, we have emotion, we have will. We experience relation. We're very relational beings. We love mom and dad and our families and our brothers and sisters. We seek and long for relationship. That's part of our makeup as creatures, is that we seek relationship. Well, then God is revealed to be a relational God, and he cares about us and desires to invite us into a harmonious, peaceful love relationship with himself, that we can know him as individuals and, of course, then as the people of God through the ages. So that is the purpose, but how is that going to be carried out? How can God overcome the effects of our fears and our selfishness and our sin, as the Bible calls it? Because the Bible says that we have fallen from that relationship. God created us with that purpose, but then man rejected that relationship with God, and we've gone our own independent way from him. The Bible says that we've all, like sheep, we've gone astray. In the New Testament, it says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory in his righteousness. And as a consequence of our sin, the relationship with God was severed and broken. And so, God desires that relationship, but there's something had to happen. How are we going to reconcile these two characteristics of God's nature? One is that he is perfectly holy and righteous and just in all his ways. So his justice demands consequences. Sin demands a result. And we're told the wages of sin is death, separation from God. The Old Testament says, the soul that sins, it shall die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Sin brought about separation from God. And yet, so God had to do a special work to satisfy his justice, his righteousness, in order to be able to bring sinful fallen men into that love relationship with himself. And that brings us to that other characteristic of God's character, his love. These two characteristics seem to be at odds with each other. God's righteousness and his justice, his judgment would bring judgment on our sin, where his love would cause him to long for and desire oneness and relationship. that is where we come to the central character of the Bible. The central character of the Bible is this Messiah, this Redeemer, this Savior, this special human being that God says in early in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, I'm going to send the seed of a woman, a human being, a male of the species, not an angel, not an extraterrestrial, not an animal, but a human being, a male of the species I'm going to send, and he is going to atone for man's sins. The word atone has a couple of meanings. The more specific meaning is to cover our sins, the word to cover. But I like the word, the idea, if you just think of the word atonement, means at-one-ment. The whole idea is that God, through this Messiah, this Redeemer, this Savior, is going to accomplish at-one-ment. We are going to be brought together again, restored into that oneness, harmonious relationship with our Creator. And so God starts the Old Testament, and he works with people. He reveals himself. He reveals the need, sin to them, and he reveals the need for forgiveness. And he promises, I'm going to send a Redeemer. So in the Old Testament, the Messiah, this Redeemer, this Savior, is prefigured. He's predicted. He's prophesied. We're told what he's going to be like, where he's going to be born, what is going to be his ancestry, his lineage, some of the characteristics of his life, and many of the characteristics of his life and his ministry are foretold. Over 300 predictions about this special human being that God is going to send into the world to be the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who facilitates the reconciliation of God and man. So we're told about him in the Old Testament, in future tense, looking forward to him and trusting in God's mercy and grace revealed because God is going to send a Redeemer, a Savior. And this Redeemer and Savior is mentioned many times, and you can see him clearly once you kind of have the picture in your mind, you understand, you see the messages there, pointing forward to this one who would come, who would be a king, yes, establishing the kingdom of God, but also become a suffering servant, a Savior who would pay a penalty to cover the guilt of our sin and shame. Isaiah 53 is a great chapter of the Bible, the Old Testament, to read. We see this very beautiful image of a sheep. It says that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned all of us into our own way, but God has laid upon him, this Messiah, this Redeemer, this Savior, the iniquity of his all. And by his stripes, we are to be healed. And so we see this foreshadowing, predicting of the Messiah. And now comes Jesus of Nazareth into the picture. John the Baptist welcomes him onto planet Earth, and he claims to be that Messiah, that Redeemer, that Savior. And he points to all of those predictions and all those prophecies that were fulfilled perfectly in his own life. And he lives the life of if God did become a man and take on flesh, then we would see him in Jesus. He lived as if God incarnate would live. His selflessness, his love, his compassion, his wisdom, his understanding. Someone has said, if Jesus Christ wasn't God, then he certainly deserves an Oscar. And we see that in his character, in the way he lived his life, and the way he treated people. And then, of course, he paid the penalty of death. We're told that the wages of sin is death. He took upon himself our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And he gave full expression, not only to the righteousness and the justice of God, the judgment of God fell upon him instead of us in our place, but also gave full expression to the love of God. And so we find the reconciliation of those two characteristics in God's nature in the redemptive work of Jesus, the Messiah, fully expressing God's love, fully satisfying God's justice. And on the basis of his finished work, he was raised from the dead. God put his seal of approval on who Jesus was and what he accomplished by raising him from the dead. And that in Christ, we who put our faith and trust in him, we can be too reconciled to that relationship with God and experience eternal life. That beautiful verse in the New Testament, that now the New Testament looks back on Jesus, on his life, and gives us the full-blown bright light of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, eternal relationship with God. Here on planet Earth, we can experience peace with God, His purpose, His significance, the blessing of walking through life hand in hand with our Creator, His power at work in us, with us, through us, transforming and giving us power to live and be as we ought to be. And then from this life on in to eternity with Him. That's the message of the Bible. And it's so transcendent, so powerful, so amazing for every human being, every people group, every nation, every tribe, every language. This is the message that has now made, that has come to unite the people of God around the planet Earth. There, today, millions of people from every tribe, every nation, every language are answering that call and that invitation that God gives us individually, one by one, to come back into that relationship with Him, to know Him, experience Him now and forever.